New European privacy rules take effect today on websites all around the world. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. You may have noticed in recent weeks your inbox full of emails from websites or apps or online services saying they've changed their terms of service or privacy policies. It's no coincidence they've been all pouring in recently. These businesses are trying to comply with a European privacy rule that takes effect today. It's called the General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR. The BBC's Theo Leggett joins us this morning to talk about it. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning.
So can you just give us a quick reminder of what GDPR is forcing European businesses to actually do?
Okay, well, the General Data Protection Regulation, to give it its full name, it gives citizens more control over their data. So, for example, I can now go to a company and say, what information do you have on me? What personal data? And if I don't like what they're holding or what they're doing with it, I can ask them to delete it. Likewise, if a company wants to use my personal data in order to include it in a marketing campaign or to sell it on to somebody else, it needs to get my explicit consent.
So will there be any material changes to how a lot of online services work? Like, will they have to change their business model?
Well, for big companies, I think they've taken this in their stride. Where it's going to be a problem, I think, is for small businesses. A lot of them don't have the resources to look into what exactly this means, or maybe they haven't devoted the time they need to do it. And many of them will rely on email databases that they may have collected without necessarily getting the explicit consent of the people on those databases. And they're going to find that they cannot use them, or they will risk breaking the law. And the penalties for breaking the law are quite serious. You can be fined up to $23 million or 4% of your company's global turnover if you break the rules. And we are seeing some consequences of that. You know, there are a number of websites based in the United States which, because this rule applies to any company doing business in the European Union, have cut off their services to European users.
So they're just not serving European customers at all. But why then would U.S. companies be changing their terms of service for U.S. customers? Why am I getting these emails?
Well, I can only assume that those companies feel that if they're going to hold databases on people, they don't want to have to separate them out into Europeans and US citizens. It may be simpler to have central databases that fulfill all of the necessary rules. And believe me, if you think you're getting a lot of emails at the moment, pity us poor Europeans. Pretty much everybody I know who sat down at their computer today has been inundated with these messages saying, please let us continue supplying you with messages. And it is quite eye-opening. Some of them come from companies I had no idea I'd ever signed up to anything with. I had no idea they had my information.
The BBC's Theo Leggett, thank you so much for speaking with us.
It's been a pleasure.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 2 to 4 tenths percent range, with the Dow future up 62 points. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.96%. After deliberating for nearly 5 days, a U.S. jury said Thursday that Samsung owes Apple $539 million in damages. This was for copying Apple's smartphones. Apple and Samsung have been in court for 7 years. Samsung was found liable for copying Apple's phones back in 2012, but the companies have been fighting since over just how much Samsung owes in damages. Samsung's already paid Apple almost $400 million. With this court decision, it'll owe another $140 million. The Department of Commerce reports that foreign visitors to the U.S. are on the decline after years of growth. Mexico is the second main source of visitors, but the number of Mexican tourists to the U.S. fell about 7.5% in 2017. Some states are trying to keep Mexican tourists coming, including Arizona, a state visited by almost 4 million Mexicans every year. KJZZ's Rodrigo Cervantes reports.
In a high-end mall in Mexico City, Estrella Jimenez sorts through hiking clothes to prepare herself for her first trip ever to Sedona, Arizona, with a Chicagoan she recently met through a dating app. She's excited about the date and the trip, but she knows a lot of people who don't want to go to the U.S., either because the peso is weak against the dollar or because of the Trump administration's policies.
Because of all these politics and Trump against Mexicans and building the wall.
Arizona's also known for a controversial immigrant enforcement law that was partially blocked by the U.S. Supreme Court. But the state wants to lure tourists like Jimenez, adventurous travelers with strong buying power from central Mexico. Arizona's tourism office says visitors to the state spent about $21 billion in 2016, and two-thirds of that was spent by Mexican tourists.
Soy Daniel Tirado. Vamos a descubrir Arizona.
Latin American travel blogger Daniel Tirado introduces his video about Arizona. The state's tourism office paid for his visit. Social media influencers like him have become key players in Arizona's marketing campaign to Mexican tourists. Mauricio Gonzalez leads the Arizona Tourism Office in Mexico City. He says that attracting tourists has been a challenge, either because of politics or the lack of direct flights.
We have been facing different things, but we've been very successful on putting Arizona on the map as a premier destination for the Mexican traveler.
And while Gonzalez's office flirts with Mexican tourists, Estrella Jimenez prepares to fall in love with the state's nature and perhaps with her date.
Well, I don't know if it's love yet. Let's take it each step at a time.
When she's in Arizona, tourism officials hope she'll do some shopping, like some 75% of Mexicans who visit the state for leisure. In Mexico City, I'm Rodrigo Cervantes for Marketplace.
Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Janet Nguyen. Our engineer is Brian Allison. I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.